Welcome to this episode of the Tipsy Tennis Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Borak, and in this episode, I traveled all the way to India to the Delhi Open Men's Challenger event. It was off the tail end of my Australian Open trip earlier this year. I interview Tristan Bowyer. He played for Stanford for 2 years. He was the Pac-10 champion one of those years.
He is currently ranked 224 in the world right now on the ATP Tour.
He's only been playing professional tennis for about 1 year and some change. However, has a huge list of accolades on the junior side of it as well. He had played all 4 junior Grand Slams, represented the U.S. in Junior Davis Cup. He is getting ready to play the semifinals of the singles draw, playing against Geoffrey Blancanu. I was already in India meeting up with another friend of mine, Sharmita Balu, where she was playing a women's ITF tournament. That will be the next interview I will be releasing. I heard about the Delhi Open literally out of nowhere. I was at the women's ITF tournament in Gurugram, and they were asking me if I was going to the Challenger event. I'm like, Challenger event? They're like, yeah, the Delhi Open is going on right now. So I'm like, I gotta go to that. So I pulled up, I reached out to some of the players who were playing in the tournament. I did a interview with the doubles winners, Matthew Romeos and Piotr Matuszewski. And here, Tristan was re-gripping his rackets, stenciling them, preparing for his match. He had just got off court with his warm-up. I got to interview him while he was doing that as a pre-match interview. Of course, I watched his match and stay tuned until the end because I also get a post-match interview with Tristan to go over his thoughts of the match and some plans for the future.
Without further ado, let's jump into it.
So you're getting ready to play the semifinals of the Delhi Open, right?
That's right.
Challenger 75K?
Yes, 75. Challenger 75.
And how are you feeling so far?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. It's been, we've been in India for 3 weeks. I think I was playing like pretty good tennis when I got here, but I had a couple tough matches in the first 2 weeks, and but I had a tough match first round here too. After I got through that, it was I think I'm playing good tennis and like I feel pretty good about it. So I'm looking forward to it.
You took out Tomic a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
How did that match go? Because I know he's a character.
He's a character, dude. He's always tough, man. I mean, he's a super talented guy, obviously. He has, he's always dangerous. He has a good serve. He places it super well. His forehand cross and inside in is like really good. He has like a nuts, like flat forehand cross inside in. And then his backhand's just solid, good hands and really good anticipation. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to get through that, especially at altitude too. Bangalore was like, maybe like a couple thousand feet. So it was like, I was happy to get through it. It was a tough match.
I also saw that you played against the Spanish dude.
Yeah, Roca.
Yeah, so you lost to him 1 week and then beat him the following week.
Yeah.
What changes did you make to make that happen?
I played him in Bangalore. Again, like altitude, like the conditions were different, pretty different the next week in Pune. The first match was tight, two breaks from him, and I don't think I had any break points. He maybe had 3 break points. So it was a tight match, and he just came through with it. But I wasn't like upset about the match. I mean, wasn't like a super bad match, you know what I mean? And then going into the next week, he had played in the semis. He got there like pretty late. He didn't have as much prep time. I knew I had that over him. And then, obviously, like the tactic was incredibly clear because I had played him already. So it was easy to just kind of lock in on that and just go like heavy to his backhand and kind of like play super super solid like that. Mm-hmm. And another tough match, but got it done. So
nice.
That was felt good.
I see you're putting the stencils on your rackets. Are you sponsored by Wilson?
Yes.
Assuming?
Yes, I am.
What do you get out of the sponsorship?
Basically rackets. Rackets and strings.
Free rackets and strings?
Yeah, pretty much.
What about the kit? I see it's a Fila.
And the kit is Fila. The kit is Fila, yes.
And they just give you free stuff?
Clothes. Yeah.
What does it take to get start getting paid from these brands to rep your stuff?
I mean, I don't know that much about it, to be honest. I mean, I just from what I've heard from my agent, basically. And I mean, from what I understand is that top 100 is really where the money starts coming in. I mean, if you're like below that, these guys don't have that much interest, for the most part. I'm pretty lucky to have even the clothes and rackets, I think. So I'm happy with that.
I also saw online that you played for Stanford, right? Yeah. Pac-12 champion.
Pac-12 champion.
What's the biggest difference between college tennis and professional tennis?
I mean, obviously the team. It's so different having like people around you. Your priorities aren't number one. You have other people's. You know, you're not playing for yourself. That's really it. And then obviously like being at school, there's other stuff going on in your life. Like tennis maybe isn't the like one and only priority for everyone, but I mean, especially for guys who maybe don't want to play after, you know what I mean? Which is fine. I think that's great. But those are the two biggest things.
What's something that you didn't expect from professional tennis, being on tour?
Didn't expect. I mean, I think the. I honestly. I don't know if I like thought that I would be like playing like at this level maybe this quickly. I think like I did. I really only been playing for like a year. I started last February, basically after an injury, and I had some good results like pretty quick. I thought I was going to be spending some time in futures, and I think I'm in like a really good position. That was like a pleasant surprise, I think. And I'm really happy about that.
I'm not gonna lie, you're 22, right?
Yeah.
You are built. You're a huge 22-year-old.
Yeah.
I think that helps as well a little bit.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps. I mean, I also, training with the team I have in Argentina, like, it's a lot of focus on the physical side of it. Mm-hmm. I'm in the gym a lot of time. I mean, so. But I've also always been pretty big, for sure. That definitely helps.
Do you have an Argentinian background?
No, nothing. I met a coach from there, and just like being down there and training down there. So
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in LA, in Pasadena. Altadena, actually, to be exact.
South Cali has some of the best tennis on in the country, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's probably the best, I think. Florida has more players, but it's all, I mean, they're not from there, you know what I mean? They all migrate, so I think it's SoCal, it's number one.
How did you get started playing tennis?
My parents introduced me. I played a bunch of sports when I was a kid, and I just liked tennis the most. I was the best at it, so stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
What's your favorite tennis memory?
Favorite tennis memory?
Yeah.
I really like the team events. College was super, super fun. I really liked playing. Like, I played Youth Olympics. That was awesome. I played Junior Davis Cup. That was really, really fun. I just played Pan Ams. That was really, really cool. Those, like, competing for the country, competing with a team, those have been really, really great. Like, those are probably some of my favorites. Obviously, the Grand Slams and Juniors were awesome.
You played them?
Yeah, I played all four. I played Australia three times, and the rest of them I played once.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do in those?
Round of 16 in Wimbledon and French.
Hey.
And that was the best.
That was the best. The other ones.
Yeah, that was it. The other ones were not as good.
How would you compare top level junior tennis to college tennis?
To college tennis? I mean, the same differences as to pro. You mean in terms of like how it is playing, it's the same differences as to pro. I mean, you're playing for yourself. You don't have a team. In terms of level, I think it's probably similar as for the top guys. I mean, there's some really, really good juniors right now. Like, I don't know, Finesco is in the quarters of 500. Like, there's some very, very good juniors.
Didn't he announce he's giving up his college eligibility to go pro.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think he's super, super good. I mean, I was with him and I saw him in a couple of challenges. Like, he's nuts, dude. Really good.
Before you went to college, did you have it in the back of your mind that you wanted to continue pursuing it after college?
Yeah.
Yeah. You knew from the start?
Yeah, I was always thinking that for sure. I mean, I was like really strongly considering, because I had a couple offers for like the 6 month deal, you know, where you start in January and leave in June and then just go play. So I was really considering those. I chose Stanford just because of the school, but in terms of tennis, like that was what I was like really wanting to do, was just kind of get like secure the college scholarship and then head out. I had a couple of conversations with college guys that kind of like convinced me otherwise, with like a couple of coaches and one of my my mental coach. So that was another reason why I decided against doing that. But I always like wanted to play pro after school for sure.
Do you think college is a good stepping stone into professional tennis, or do you think it's a coin toss of, you know, how you can leverage it?
I mean, no, I don't think it's necessarily a good stepping stone. I think it matters a lot where you go and how you leverage it. Mm-hmm. A lot. I think it's definitely better now with the accelerator program. It's always had the US Open wild card, but I mean, you need to have a good program and you need to be like super self-motivated, mm-hmm. super self-motivated.
What'd you study in college?
I studied mechanical engineering.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're an engineer.
Engineering. Yeah. Yeah. It was fun, actually. I enjoyed it. I really like, I always like math and science. Mm-hmm. So, and I like, I'm a big like F1 fan. I like planes and cars and shit like that. So I was always like wanted to do that. I pretty much was decided on that when I got there for the most part.
Do you ever get nitty gritty into the specs of the rackets, how they're made or the materials, or you just,
I haven't, I've thought about it a little bit, not like into the nitty gritty really. I've never been like a super specific, doing my own like lead tape and stuff like that, never. But like I've thought about, like, I mean, it seems like to me, like, I mean, in terms of obviously the material science has gotten a lot better with graphite, and I don't know if there's any carbon fiber in there, but whatever it is. But like in terms of like the shape of the racket, like it hasn't really changed. You know what I mean? There's no like anything like that crazy, maybe like a Yonex, I guess, but.
What rackets are you using?
What racket is this?
Yeah, let's do a shout out to Wilson right now.
Wilson, it's just an Ultra Pro. I was using like just the stock one before and I'd weighed it myself. And then they started giving me rackets from Pro Lab. So these are from Pro Lab. But it's just the stock Ultra Pro, I think.
What's the biggest difference between like the Pro Stock rackets and the consumer rackets that you feel?
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, obviously, like it's different for each player. I think that some players are just using stock rackets. Some players are using like older sticks. I've heard a lot of people use like K blades, like, you know, rackets that they don't necessarily sell, but
K blade goes hard. Yeah, that's one of the best rackets,
like,
in my opinion.
Yeah, the one from
made.
Like 05 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, I mean, in terms of like materials and like technology, like I don't think they're any different than like rackets are selling now. They're just like different feel. I mean, as far as I understand, that's what I would guess.
I don't know if you know this, but every tennis racket company, the specs on it, especially or in the weight, it's always like plus minus 5 grams. Do you ever feel that in when you get new rackets, that they feel a little bit different and you have like a favorite racket or so?
I mean when I've been sending my rackets to someone to get weighted, and now that they come from Pro Lab, but
I mean, I've been having them like matched for a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. So now, no, but I wasn't ever really old enough to like think about that before I started getting them spec'd. But if you didn't have them spec'd, you would for sure feel, it could be a 10 gram difference if it's plus or minus 5, obviously. So uh-huh. you'd for sure feel that. That's a lot, you know?
What tension do you string your rackets at?
These are 53.
53?
Yeah, usually I go 52, but it's a little loosier. So.
How many rackets do you have?
I have 6 in here and 2 in the hotel.
Uh-huh. And do you string them, would you come up, go to a match with like slightly different tensions depending on like the conditions of the day or the location?
No, I just...
keep it the same?
Yeah, I mean, I test it out before the tournament, try it out, and then adjust it like before. I guess maybe if I had a day off and I knew it was going to be like super heavy or something like that, or cloudy, then maybe I would drop a pound or something, but not a significant amount.
Mm-hmm. What strings do you play with? Looks like...
This is Alu 125.
I feel like that's the player's choice across the tour.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Yeah, I was using 4G before. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a little less action, especially with this racket that's a little bit more dead and doesn't really give you as much. So yeah, it's nice. It's nice too.
And it's really good. Nice. So you're using rubber bands for
rubber
this.
Rubber bands.
What inspired that?
I had an old coach when I was in juniors, and he was like, "Oh, you should try these out just for fun," and I just liked them, so I've been using them ever since. I like the color too.
Is there a particular brand of rubber band you like?
You get these off of. They use these to wrap like bundles of asparagus. And I've just been using them. They're like the same thickness and whatever. And so that's where I get them.
I've tried it.
You don't like it?
I actually really do.
You do?
The issue I have though, whenever I would do it, is getting like the same thickness of rubber bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you got to get like either buy like a pack of it or just.
Yeah.
Because they also break, you know?
Yeah, they break. They break a pretty good amount. Yeah, I just, my parents like collect them whenever they have asparagus. They like keep the rubber bands. So whenever I go home, there's like a pile waiting for me. So I get them restocked, and then these are all like similar. Like, I mean, some of them are like a little thicker, a little thinner, but more or less the same. so yeah, it's good.
And so you're about to, you're probably going to go on court pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Let's do it.
Thanks, man.
Do it for the boys back at home.
Let's get it. Let's get it, dude.
All right, we are gearing up. Tristan Boyer is about to start playing right behind me. You can see him, that stud over there. This guy is built like a freaking bull, 22 years old. Interesting stadium. I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit run down, but the crowd seems pretty small as well. From Tristan, this is actually one of the nicer challengers. So let's go watch and cheer on our boy. So, Tristan, you had a tough match today in the semis. You lost to a really good French player, Blancanieu. You seem like you've been in pretty good spirits walking off, but are you feeling after that?
I mean, things happen. It's a tough match. He played better, I think, especially with the wind. I had a couple of chances. I could have broken him first game. I probably would have changed a little bit. I played a little bit of a loose game second game, and then I was holding pretty easily the rest of the set. He was. I had some chances in a lot of service games, but he played well. He played well in big points. He served well. Didn't miss a lot of first serves. Mm-hmm. Maybe could have adjusted a little better on some of the serves.
If you can go back and play the match differently, what would you do?
I would have really locked in on that first game. He didn't really have any scoreboard pressure at any point. Maybe would have tried to find my second serve return a little bit better, because mm-hmm. I wasn't really hitting the. He was kicking it up to my backhand, and I wasn't really hitting it that well. I've been hitting it really well the whole tournament. Maybe locked in on the passes a little more. didn't pass great.
How so? You spent the last 3 weeks in India or so?
Yeah, this is the third week.
So how would you describe your entire series over here? Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was honestly pretty nice. I mean, the challenges are always pretty good. The first two are 100, so they're nice tournaments, big tournaments. Very different place than like US or Europe. Really different food. But it was good. I enjoyed like experiencing it and kind of like, you know, like seeing a place that's so different than these places. So I enjoyed it.
In general, do you ever feel like the cuisine of the country plays any effect on your kind of your state? You know, not have, you know, your diet is obviously important.
I don't know if it plays a I mean, I think you try to keep it as similar as possible. Like, you don't want to be trying anything out, you know what I mean? Especially before a match. I mean, I'm more towards the desire of like trying new stuff. But I mean, during match day, you keep it the same. So no, not really. I mean, you try to eat the same stuff. There's rice and like chicken everywhere, you know?
What's your favorite Indian dish?
I've been eating a lot of lentils.
A lot of what?
A lot of dal, which is like lentils. That's been super good. I mean, butter chicken's unbelievable. They have a type of bread called shirmal, which is really, really good. I had tried that a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really enjoying it, to be honest. It's all really, really good.
And so what's the next stop for you now?
I'm going back home for a couple weeks of training, 2 weeks of training, and then I'm going to play some challengers in Mexico on clay.
Mm-hmm.
See if I get into Houston, and then play the three in Florida and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your favorite surface? Do you like hard or clay? You seem like a hard court player.
I think I'm pretty even on both.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have some good results on clay. I think I'm more of my points on clay. But, you know, I grew up on hard court, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I'm even.
What are your goals for the rest of the year? So
goals for the rest of the year? I mean, you know, obviously my goal always is to do the best I can, train as hard as I can, and be the best. I mean, by the end of the year, I want to be consistently playing slam qualies for sure. Maybe looking at playing some main draws by you know, Australia next year. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, this year's very different from last year, where I didn't have anything to defend. So it's a little different mentality, and we'll see what happens. But you know, doing a little better than last year would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, consistently top 200 and kind of trying to get as close as I can to top 100. But yeah, doing the best I can. I think if I keep training the way I am, and I have a really good team, and working hard, then good things can happen.
What's your favorite part about being a touring pro?
I mean, winning, dude.
Winning?
Winning, dude. Feels great. It's the best thing ever.
What's your least favorite part?
Losing. So, there's no other answer to those questions.
I mean, you seem like, you know, as I said, you seem like you're in pretty good spirits after you know, the tough match today. If you don't mind, I'm nobody kind of to you, but do you mind if I give you like my analysis of the match?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So I think the wind was definitely playing a bit of a factor throughout the match.
Yeah.
The chairs were like, you know, falling over, creating delays and stuff like that. But I think what your opponent did really well is the variety that he was playing with today.
Yeah.
He was like chipping a lot of returns, or even in the middle of the point, just throwing, you know, forehand slice or backhand slice, high balls, low balls, drop shots, where I felt from your side, it was a little bit, you know, I would say lack of variety.
Yeah.
Some of the shots you were going for, I feel like you were maybe expecting or used to having them to be a little bit more effective.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, you were taking, you know, when you take a crack at the ball, you're taking a risk of, you know, potentially missing.
Yeah.
Given the conditions and also how he was playing, he was playing pretty good defense today. You weren't getting, I don't think you were getting the response that you're like you normally used to, that you're able to be more aggressive off of it. And so you were playing with the risk
without the reward.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
That's how I felt.
Totally. Yeah.
I think if you threw in some more slices, it would have been good. And especially with the wind,
yeah,
the slices would have been more effective.
Yeah.
Because it kind of tough to read the ball.
And yeah. He definitely dealt with the wind better for sure. He's really good feel. So you're right about the variety. He played really well at net. He played a good match. Played a solid match.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So sure. Good luck going into the rest of the season.
Thank
Hopefully,
you,
if you come to if you play U.S. Open, you played the U.S. Open qualies last
year.
Yeah,
right? Qualies last year.
You lost to Dion.
Yep.
I think I interviewed him after that.
Oh, match. Yeah. Tough one.
But
that was a tough match too.
Hopefully we can we'll meet again.
For sure, man.
If you make it to the U.S. Open in New York, and safe travels and kick some ass, break some serves, and
do it,
break some hearts.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tipsy Tennis Podcast. If you enjoyed it, I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review and followed me on Instagram at Tipsy Tennis Podcast, and also on YouTube. There's a video interview on YouTube and clips across all socials. So if you follow me there, you will never miss it and get some bite-sized pieces of the interviews. My next interview is going to be with Sharmita Balu. She's an Indian player who almost qualified for the 2012 Olympics before getting injured, taking a few years off of her tennis career to focus on herself and figure out who she is. Before returning to the game right now, she has hopes to either play Olympics or get into some Grand Slams in the next year or two. She's a great friend of mine, and it was an amazing interview to do with her. So please stay tuned, because you do not want to miss that one. That will be it for this episode. As always, stay tipsy.